was in the... Why that's a machayev?
Okay, so we said... yesterday we said in terms of Reb Shimon's approach that is, but we had explained earlier that ochel es chesrono is a machayev because it takes it out of the category of groma. Right, that's what we explained the first time. This one, we'll come back to that. Good. So, want to finish up the sugya with the Rav's mahalachim here. So, the way we understand the sugya is that the Gemara raises the question, Ador b'chotzei chaveiroi. The Gemara says, is the Ador b'chotzei chaveiroi chayiv? The Gemara says, if it's a situation of zen nenem is a choser, obviously it's chayiv, and he'd be paying masha nenes. If it's ze loy nenem is a loy choser, there's nothing to pay for. But however, if it's ze loy nenem ze choser, then it is evaluated. Taisa says to the halachas of hezek, oichel et chesronei. As always, where it's not oichel et chesronei. However, if it's ze nene ze loy choser, so the Gemara says, what's the mechayev? Is it mechayev hanor or is it mechayev chisaron? Maskon of the sugya is. First day, Shin Samach Gimel Sif Vav says that Hador Mechotze Chaveiroi is Potter. There is a possible steer in the Ramah that perhaps we'll still look at. So we're not ready yet for Halacha Psuka. And the Sif Zion says, Yesh Oimrim, that Hador b'chotzei chaveiroi, if there is a minimal chisaron, then one pays the full hanor. So the first day is Hador b'chotzei nenem v'chotzei spater, right? If there is some minimal chisaron, you pay for the chisaron, correct? Second day it says zen nenem v'zelei choser is pater, but if it's choser, then one pays for the full hanor. So, how do we explain that second shita? The first shita, zen nene vezele chosus potter, means that hano is not a machayev. If there's a chisar, then they have to pay for the chisar, they have to pay for the loss, the hezek, correct? The second day it says, zen nene vezele chosur is potter, however, once there is chosur, then one pays masha nenes. So how does one explain that? If Hano is a Mechayiv, then Hano should be Mechayiv even when it's Zen Nene Vizelei Choser. And if Hano is not a Mechayiv, so why is one paying Hano when there is minimal Chisaron? So far we had two Mahalachim, Pnei Yeshua and Pnei Mishka. Pnei Yeshua's Mahalach was that Hano is really a Mechayiv. However, if there's no Choser, so then, koif and almidas sedayim. If I didn't lose anything, why am I mechayiv? If there was some loss, even if it was opportunity cost loss, all right, then I can. There's no longer midas sedayim. But if there's mamish no loss bechlal, so then there's an overriding principle in halacha: don't become a sedayimnik. Once that overriding principle is neutralized, because there is a chisaron, so then. I can ask for my entire hana. Yeah, so that has to be explained. It's a little bit difficult to understand why we don't say that once I've gotten my chisaron, so then it's vayter sedayim. So that apparently has to be explained in more of the way human beings function, right? We function that if I have absolutely no chisaron, so then why shouldn't you have the benefit? Once they have some minimal chisaron, so then we're in a contractual relationship. So why shouldn't I get the benefit I can get out of my property? Reb Shimon's approach was that hano is not a machayev, and chisaron is not a machayev, but my property rights are mechayev. I have a certain shlita over my property. When that shlita is challenged, so then halacha says that I can do what it takes to put that shlita back in place. Good. Again, that has weaknesses because it sounds like a very intricate rabbanan tikkudin. That one has to sort of create based on the sugya. The Rav's mahalach is the following, and you can see this in part in the Rishima's shurim, and I'm saying this based on the Rishima's shurim. The Rav l'chora, his understanding was when the Gemara raises the question about zen nene v'zen lechoser, what's the machayev? Is the machayev hana or is the machayev chisara? Right. So the Rav said, what is the that chisaron should be a machayev that I understand? That's called compensation. It's called gezel. Right? There's a chiddush that gezel ishtamshus is called gezel. But when we say that chisaron is machayev, what we're really saying is that does this rise to the level of gezel where there's a mitzvah v'ashavas hagzela v'eshvus esher gozel? Right? Does this rise to the level of hezek about which the Torah said that when Adam HaMazik is chayiv to compensate when he causes some kind of hezek. Right? That's what is the thought behind Hanoa being a mechayiv? Hanoa is mechayiv a brocha, right? Kol shenenem v'namuzeh b'li brocha kilu mo'al. Good. But when is Hanoa mechayiv? Bin Adam l'chaberi. What's the habim in it that Hanoa is a mechayiv? What's that option? Hosanus. They said yesterday. The Ger Hashiva, Rav Knoblovich says that Hanoa is clearly not a mechayiv in many situations. I can give you Hanoa and the Le'ol Adatena that I'm going to charge you for it. So, when the Gemara says, Ho is Hanis, since when is Hanah ever phrased? Hanah is phrased as a way of calibrating how much you have to pay. Right? The behemoth is Mishalim Mashanenis. Right? Because my behemoth took something from you. So therefore, I have to pay what I pay. I said, one of the things I pay is what I have gained from what he took from you. No, so what's the answer? Hador b'chotze chaveroi. What's the answer of the, how do we understand the tzad that says, ho is hanes? No, what's the answer?
Yeshua?
No. Straight from the Gemara. What's the answer? To say, I'm from a Beis Din, right? And Reuven is suing Shimon because Shimon slept on his couch. And it's so Reuven is saying, you slept on my couch. My couch is better than the local Holiday Inn. At least $130. Right? No triple A membership reduction. Right? I don't have no points, nothing. I want, and I'm not even charging my couch. You're talking about my couch is Hilton. I'm only charging Holiday Inn rates. No, well, based on what? What do you mean? He had the hana of so. What am I asking the dayan? On what basis should the dayan obligate him to pay? If I bring in, would I imagine bringing a person in by saying, it was raining outside and the guy stood under my roof, my eaves. You know how much hanoi I gave? You know that brusselino he's wearing? Not for my eaves. That brusselino is done. That's a $300 item nowadays, no brusselino. So can I charge him? It's a used brusselino. No. Would we ever say, Hosanna, I gave mana. My house gave mana. No. So why, in one case, would we say that's not even Asugya? And over here we're saying it's a Shaila Gemara. And at Ganikach, we are going to say that if it's chos a little bit, so what could it fit into? No? What's the answer? What? How long does it fit into? So the only thing it could fit into is schar dira, it's a seicher, right? In other words, we looked at it as some kind of implicit contract. It's the only thing it could be a contract, right? But there's no contract, right? In other words, the point that we're making is that nobody would ever sign up, as far as we know. There's no implicit contract in me paying for the beautiful fragrance of your lilac trees, and there's no implicit contract in me enjoying the garden that you plant, and there's no implicit contract in me standing under your roof to save my Borsellino. But there are contracts out there in the world of renting space. That does exist, right? So over here, the question is, is there an implicit understanding that, not that I gave you handah, but the very specific handah of schar dira? Is there an understanding that the only way, if you move into a Holiday Inn room, and you sneak by the guy in the front desk, somehow they didn't change the lock in the last time you went to... So you get into room 220 and you're there. And then they, on the way out, they catch you. Right? So what are they going to charge you for? If you're lucky, they'll only charge you for the room. They're not going to call the police on you, right? But what are they charging you for? Because everybody else signed a contract and they were mechay themselves, schar dira. So you didn't sign the contract. No. That doesn't make you potter. Everybody has a contract. So you moved in, so we will be nice to you. And instead of getting you arrested, we'll just say, we'll pretend that you signed the contract. Those are the two options over here, right? One option is you're trespassing and they'll get you arrested. The other option is we'll pretend that you signed the contract, right? So you're chayv schar dira. So Rav said, there is no basis to mechayiv hois hanes. The question that Gemara is raising is that dor b'chotze chaveiru shalom midaitoi, can we say he is a soicher? He rented the space. Or do we say he's a mazik? Those are the two options. Do we say he's a soicher, so then he should pay schar dira? Or do we say he's a mazik? So Zen, and in other words, coming back to the guy who snuck into the to 220 in the Holiday Inn. Do we say that he is a criminal? When the Beis Din comes, and we say this guy trespassed, this guy's a mazik, we'll say, well, what was the hezek? And they'll say, well, no hezek because I had 20 rooms that were empty. There's no, and I wasn't able to rent them out. And I didn't have to pay the chambermaid anymore because she's on a weekly salary. Right? And this is the one guy who didn't use the soaps and the shampoos and put into his duffel bag, right? So they're still there, right? So cost me nothing. So how can you call him a criminal? You could say that there were reasons to create a deterrent. You could say that if you don't do something, and it may be your right to do that, but Zeh Leichoser, why are you coming to Beis Din? What do you want? On the other hand, if you say that there's a contract over here, this guy skipped the step, right? He didn't sign the contract. But by moving in, he's signing a contract. When you move into a hotel room, you macabalifying yourself to pay what everybody else pays. Right? So in this situation, what are the options? The options are Schar Dira. So the Rav said, that's what's going on in the sugya. Hador b'chotze chaveiroi. The Gemara says that it's ki'ilu the Brisker Rav and Hezek. Right? There are different ways of being machayev people, the different slots you can fit into. So what does this person fit into? Either we're fitting into, he's a criminal for trespassing, he's a mazik, or he is a legitimate soicher that skipped the step. No, what is it? Right? So again, so now, the what the Rav, I think, explained is, so now it's the psak. So we pass in a door, b'chotzech ha'vevi, shalem yidaita, yiz potter. Right? What does that mean? It means that he is not a mazik, and he's not a seicher. Zen nene lechoser. Right? He's not a mazik because he didn't do any hezek. And it's a chotzed de le'ovid le'megar. And it's a gavri ovid le'megar. So this happens to be, it's not a hotel. Leads to his hotel, 100% right. But it's my living room. So there is no implicit con, there is no schar dir in my living room. Right? The last 10 guys who came in didn't pay schar dir. So b'toiras mazik lechoser. B'toiras is hanis. Is hanis means schar dira. There's no schar dira. No one pays schar dira. There's no implicit contract. However, if he causes some kind of chisaron, asher chavisa dashisa, so then what is he now? So here the halacha says either that's a machlokes. One says, well, you're telling me he's a mazik. Okay, so pay with the chisaron. Okay. The other mahalach is saying the Tosfos and the Rosh, so they're saying that Ashrechvisa the Shaisa does not rise to barbing a mazik. Right? However, now he is a seicher. Now he's a paper schaidira. So now, if he's paying for schaidira, he pays the full schaidira. Those are my options. Right? Those are my options. So now the guy comes in. All right, so now let's walk through it. The mayor wants to know why. He's in my living room. He's in my new home. He's not my living room. He's in the new house that he just built for me. Right? So, and again, it's a house that is not normal lemegar, so we're not saying that it's a classic chaser. But he is in violation of my bylaws. He did trespass. We're not going to say like Reb Shimon said. Maybe we'll go along the lines of Reb Shimon. But my options now are, in other words, Reb Shimon said that he pays schar dira in order to reinstate my bialos. The Rav would say, that's not a reinstation. Once he becomes, the Rav's lashon is, it makes him into a teveya. I want to discuss with him. But the way that I would interpret that idea of becoming a teveya means once we enter into a implicit contractual relationship, then it's chaydira, then he's paying rent. There are only two options over here. So once I bring him to Beis Din, so if I bring him to Beis Din because he was mazik me, so I'm not doing that in this case because the hezek doesn't rise to the bar of hezek because that's not something that one normally sues for. A person's that's something that people are always moichel. Moshe, I have a guest in my house. He's there for 4 or 5 weeks. By the time he goes, the room does not look the same way it looked before. Right? Normal wear and tear. The bed moved against the wall. 5 more weeks of the bed moving against the wall. 5 more weeks of marks, right? That's the way it is. Wear and tear. But we're all marichal the wear and tear when we have guests. We don't charge them for. We know you have a guest, right? You know you paint the room. There's a certain wear and tear is going to happen. Totally marichal. So now a guy comes into my newly painted house. He comes without my permission. So I can't take him to court for shechita d'shaisa because the basin will say, what do you mean? Everybody's marichal this. You're a marichal this if it wouldn't have been this guy. If it would have been a friend, a relative, so he would have said, would not have even been a thought. They're going to ask him, you know, it's not a freshly painted room anymore. Right? So Bezin is saying, what are you talking about? You're coming to Bezin, you're taking this guy for something which you wouldn't be Meichel in every situation. So now you're not Meichel. Elamai. Now I wanted to, because there was some kind, because I took some kind of a hit, right? So Pnei Yeshua calls it no longer Kodem Yisodai, right? Rav Shimon calls it lack and violence. So the Rav would say, but those are not, there's not, Halacha doesn't say that I'm chayiv to pay for challenging your violence. Where's the precedent for that? Rav Shimon would say, this is a sugya, right? The Rav would say, Pnei Yeshua, we don't have an understanding that because it's not kaif and therefore you're, right? Where's the precedent? So Rav would say, no, what's happening over here is that the moment I have a taina against this person, so then I'm treating him as a soich. I'm treating him as a person, as a non-guest. So what's left? He's a renter. He's leasing the property from. So the reason that he's paying full schar na'ah is because that is the only basis that halacha recognizes for which I can charge this person. So there's no basis for contractual relationship. So now there's a basis for saying that we have a, just like the guy who moves into the Holiday Inn, they never discuss the contract. We say there was a contract there because it's also the Magar. Now the guy who comes and moves into the house and causes me no chisaron bachlal. There's no contract. He caused the chisaron. So now I have a taina against him. But what's my taina? I'm going to be tovea a taina for something I'm always being meichel for? No, my taina is that hayois, that he... that the room is no longer a freshly painted room, so now I should treat him as a soicher, as a guy who's renting. Nope, he was a mayor.
I don't understand why the claim that you said for a chisaron is not good enough for a chisaron for it to work.
Yeah.
But since you made that same claim that you made for a chisaron, since you're able to tovea that little bit of claim, therefore you can claim the entire hana afterwards, since you're already claiming something, so therefore you have rights to the sphira.
Like, right, yeah.
I don't understand why that would work. The claim doesn't work for chisaron because it's too small. But since you have some sort of claim, which is such a small claim, therefore you can claim for everything?
Yeah. The justification for that is that once I have some kind of tivi against him, so then he's no longer my guest, he's no longer my kid. He's no longer my friend. Then that creates a contractual relationship. What possible relationship could there be? As I say, right? Those are the only options. If he's my friend, I'm moichel. If he's a guest, I'm moichel. The guy moved in, Ador b'chatzar, and he moved in. Now he caused me a minimal hezek. For him, I'm not moichel. All right? So what does that mean? That means I'm not treating him as a guest or as a friend. So the fact that he entered into a, that means he entered into a relationship with me as a seicher and as a maskir. That's you know, halacha is saying that's what you're doing when you move when you trespass in somebody else's house. So Reb Shimon would say you're violating violas. The Rav would say, okay, but show me the pasuk, show me the parsha, show me the sugya. The Rav would say, when I move into somebody else's house, what's the relationship that I'm entering into right now? Right? Stalker? Okay, it could be a stalker relationship. Good. It could be we're good friends, it's a good relationship, I'm partner altogether. Right? But if the moment that I am causing him some kind of aggravation, so then the relationship is what's left? I'm not a guest because he's aggravated with me. It's not stalker, he's aggravated. What's left is he's a mask and a masochist. So then I have to pay schar dira. It's not so foreign psychologically when you think about it. But hold on one question, go ahead.
Okay, so first off, that sheet is implying that the mechila is inherent on the person being.
I think so.
Okay, and
secondly, or that it cost me absolutely nothing, right? But,
right.
Yeah.
Right. But secondly, let's say the Baal doesn't normally get that ever. Then how it, which I think is this case,
right?
Meaning how is this squatter coming in and being a and coming into the relationship as renter? If there's no prior precedent in a renter relationship,
because that's totally accurate. So what are our options, and what are the possibilities that he's that I'm doing him a favor? What are the options? Right. So that's I was doing him a favor as long as I didn't have some kind of chisaron. Right. So Meir would say, well, I'm doing him a favor after the first $10. The rest of the favor. That's not a relationship. The moment he moves out of the role of mechila. Mechila could be because a friend, relative, stalker, right? So I'm not Meichel. So then what's my option? Trespasser?
Right. Well, we make the most sense is a criminal and there would be some sort of knas.
Okay, but so we're looking at it in a. The Torah says that we are since we have another option, right? Those are my options, right?
Yeah.
Room 220 in the Holiday Inn. I'm given an option: either gonna call the police that you're a trespasser, or let's create this fictional relationship of being a. All right. So what would I write? What's in my best interests? Right. Right, so that's what the Torah is saying over here. Torah is saying over here, you have an option, right? Your options are either that you're a trespasser, you're causing the aggravation, and he's not moichel in this case. Or you could be a seicher. No, so better be the seicher. Even though it's more expensive,
right.
Better be the seicher. In other words, if I end up paying, so I was in violation, and I cause my aggravation and I'm making up. There's a better option. You're a soicher. You're renting.
Is it considered hezeshin and
mukar? I'm not sure. I don't think so. I think that hezeshin and mukar, the examples of this mamish, no physical indication altogether.
Okay, so meaning the fact that he was there is called hezek, even if there's no depreciation value.
No, I think there probably is a depreciation value even more than a sheva pruta. You probably could identify more than a sheva pruta, but it's a hezek that is normally nitan for mechila. So just take a step back of how the Rav looked at the sugya. The first contribution of the Rav to the sugya is that when we say ohisanes, so that we should look at it in the context of chiyuvim that we are familiar with in halacha, as opposed to saying where is the Gemara is now entertaining the possibility of a new mechayiv, mechayiv avana. The Rambam said no. What? When are we mechayiv because of avana? That's chaydira. That's a contractual relationship. So the Rambam said that's how you have to look at the sugya. Is there an implicit, you know, to look at, to minimize the chiddush, to say what could Chazal be referring to over here? And then that insight becomes what I would think is a compelling insight when you get to the end of the sugya and you say, well, in the case of Zen Nene, Vizet Loy Choser, but he was Choser a little bit, then he's going to pay the full Hanah. So what the Rav is saying is because halacha always only considered one of two categories, either a hezek or a schadira. So once we said that this is not a maisa hezek because it doesn't rise beyond the normal course of mechila, so then the only other option was the Gemara said ashechrisa deshaisa. So it's true that the Ramah says you pay. And the first day Shachron, you pay for this. Good. That we understand. But how do we understand when the Rosh says, the Torah says you pay for everything? So that's what the Rav was pointing out, because that's the other option. Hoshanis is the option of being a Soicher. So there are only two options. Either pay like a criminal, or pay like a reconstructed rental. So pay as rental. So that's what the sugya is saying. In other words, take a step back. The Rav says, if you simply read the sugya, that is what the sugya is saying. Sugya says, you cause a certain chisaron, you pay like a seicher. All right. According to the Taisa, so the Rav would say, you see from that the options of the sugya are either Pelik a mazik, pelik a seicher, and then that would be then we can understand. That's the beauty of the brisk of mahalach, is that once you identify the mahalach, then the depth of understanding the sugya comes out, since it falls out on its own, because we're asking, we're giving the hador b'chotze chavei right in a case with shloy osi lemegar, we're giving him the choice of either being a criminal or being a legal renter. So if it's a sort of osi lemegar, so then, and it's zen and it's chosis, so that we can't whitewash it, we can't sanitize it. But in the case with zen and chosir, so then we're giving the option of reconstructing this to be schadira. So that's it's a win-win situation. The balabayas gets full value, and the dor b'chotzeh haveri is not a criminal squatter. No. So that's just the machshava behind the halacha. But how we got to that point is because simply by defining what the shita is saying, and then it helps explain that the beginning of the sugya never imagine that we're going to have a new category of Hanah being Mechayim. It's that in this particular case, the Hanah is a imposed contractual relationship, which Halacha does adopt, as in the case of Zachalom Shavonah. All right, so we still haven't paskened yet whether you can go down during intermission. Have to see. Is there anything? Did the Rizal Bishin write about this? Chashukei Chemed.
Going down.
Yeah.
I'm ejected.
Oh, yeah. So what does he have on it?
What
does he have on it?
He ends up saying it was also
based on.
I'll look it up.
It could be a Yam Shol Shlomo at the end of Sugya. That's one. In other words, the question that we're asking is not. Our Sugya is focused on compensation. Our Sugya has not discussed the issue of whether it's Mutter Roser. Right? So it's conceived as a Yam Shel Shlomo, that even if it's there's no compensation, doesn't mean it's mutter. That's we haven't addressed that yet. But you see that. Go ahead, Mayor.
Can one claim from the pasuk of Rishia Yukashar?
Yeah.
That I actually, like he's saying that you blackened my walls, and I can say back to him that I actually benefited.
That's the Ramah's approach. Ramah's approach is that Yukashar is a response to Shacharusa Deshaisa, and that's why he's potter. But the Rosh says that, and there's all the Shitasei, that Shiukashar is just a sad, a support for saying that Zen Nene Vizal Chaser is potter. Just a Melitza.
How's it
Melitza? I'm sorry?
How do you see that from the Pasuk that it's Melitza?
For carrot, why are you quoting a Pasuk at the end of the Sugya? Why are you saying that? Why was this raised in Chaf Al and Chaf Amud Aleph already?
Yeah, I don't know.
Right, so the Rosh is saying there was a Melitza that the Meram said, and the Zen is another way of saying Zen and Lechosa. There is some, but the Rosh writes, it's just a sad and a smachta, it's not a real svar. Good, okay. We have to have people, so tell Ellie when everybody's sort of flying out, so we have I don't like when there's van before Pesach just peters out, which is a sheer parida.
I asked for Shachter one.
Yeah.